Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
You know, the May contracts expired a week ago, and on the weekly charts, the lead option soybeans posted a 42.5 cent gain. Is it the start of something big for the bean market? We'll ask that question and many more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Bill Biederman of Allendale. Our panelists today are Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. Really, is there any good fundamental reason for the soybean market to rally 42 cents in the nearby and 30 cents in the harvest month? And we'll start with you, Bill Mayer.
Well, I think there's a couple of things there, Todd. I think, first of all, we're getting the typical post-harvest rally, which is one of the more predictable rallies that you get in the soybean market. It used to be that we just got that, you know, after October going towards the Thanksgiving holiday, but of course now we have the South American harvest. I think that's part of it. The other part of it, I think, is when you really get away from all the noise and everything that's out here, it's all about acres, and we need to make sure we get the acres that we plant allocated right, and we really don't have enough acres. We need to get more planted down in South America, and that's not going to happen with the currency exchange where it's at and the prices where they're at. Maybe they were getting up there, but we think it's an opportunity. We think a farmer should take advantage of it, buy some put options, make some additional cash sales.
You had a whole bunch of farmers thinking that we were doing a rerun there for a second with the post-harvest rally, but indeed you're correct. There is another harvest season in South America, and it just finished up. Tell me a little bit, Ed, what you think about this fundamental reason, if there is anything in the marketplace for the beans to rally.
Well, the two things that I look at right now, we've cut the U.S. ending stocks number in half, from the 06-07 number down to 07-08. As Bill and I talked before coming on to the show, you can't do that too many times before we have problems. And we're looking at a futures market for a reason. They're looking out into the future and they're saying, hey, we can't continue to allow this acreage decrease to happen. Secondly, soybean oil following along as an energy here, moving up to highs we haven't seen since the mid-80s. Today's July contract up over 35 cents for the first time. Those two reasons right there are enough for the buyers to stay in there.
And Bridget?
I agree with what both these guys have said earlier. I think that seasonally we do see soybeans kind of strengthen this time of year as they have to stay competitive with corn, as those corn planters are rolling. And also I think we're seeing some strong spillover support from that vegetable oil market.
Let's talk a little bit about $8 lead option soybeans. On the weekly lead option chart, July pushed through the recent tops and edged towards $8. The new crop Novembers are just about 20 cents off their contract high. Technically, do you think the market will try to push that November to test those levels next week?
I think it's possible for it to try and test those levels, but I also think there's going to need to be a fundamental reason. We're going to have to see some weather scares here develop in the short term.
Testing the tops?
I think we could do that. I think, though, we are getting pretty overbought here, and that's one reason that we're looking at taking advantage of it.
Ed, Informa this week released its estimate of the U.S. soybean acreage. The company expects farmers in the nation will sow 68.3 million acres. That's above USDA's March estimate of 67.1 million, 1.2 million acres above USDA. In fact, apparently, the trade didn't care What did you make of that figure?
Well, you're right. At the time that report came out, but I think the trade had kind of, first of all, they were not surprised by that because of the loss of wheat acres in the south due to weather concerns, some freezes down there that caused wheat acreage to go into beans. So I think the market was ready for an increase. I think they shrugged it off saying, okay, there it is. We expected it. And again, I think they refocused on how do we keep acres for next year and how do we combat the rising soybean oil prices. Not a surprise that they shrugged it off.
Is that right? The wheat acres from the south got transferred to beans instead of corn. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think that's where you saw most of the acreage increase on the Informa numbers.
Well, soybeans rallied. Corn managed a mixed week. July futures are now worth more than new crop December. Corn futures finished the week like this. They had a high of 381 and a quarter, a low of 355 and a quarter in the July. Their settlement price at 371 and a quarter, up 10 and a quarter from last week. December futures at 366 and a half were off 8 cents from last week. Why the inverse in the marketplace?
I think we're seeing a little bit of stronger in those nearbys because cash markets are seeing a little bit stronger prices as they're trying to encourage some fresh farmer sales.
Yes, I would agree with that. And yeah, basis levels have come creeping up. It is a little bit of a scratch-your-head situation, Todd, because basis levels for not only nearby or new crop are very poor. So then why would you see an inverse? But again, I think what the market's looking at is, we've been selling the heck out of corn. Exports are very good. We're 10% ahead of the pace of a year ago, yet the projection increase is only 2%. So they're a little bit worried about how do we maybe get through the summer when we got this monster crop coming again this fall with all these acres. I don't think they're as concerned about what's going to happen this fall.
Bill, might the inverse be an indication that the market will continue to slide right on through the harvest given normal growing conditions?
That could indicate that, but I think it's pretty basic, fundamental. I mean, the carryout that we have right now, if you look historically, that calls for some small inverse between the July and the new crop months. As Ed said, the classic merchandising, the basis comes in, then the spreads narrow to try to get cash grain to move. And I think one of the fundamental, if you look at something out there, try to find something fundamental, I think that one thing is that you have actual users, commercial users, willing to come in here and buy this market when it gets down there to a level that we've seen it go to now, what, 3 or 4 times. It seems like that's what keeps the support there is the actual ethanol feeders, those people coming in there and buying the corn.
Ed, you can follow up if you'd like on the slide into the fall time frame, but I'd also like you to discuss crop marketings for new crop in particular. I want advice for producers who are covered by crop insurance and those who are not.
Okay. On the slide into this fall, I do think that it won't be just a nice steady slope down. In futures, I agree with Bill that we are going to go lower, but with a 950 million bushel carryover in the market needing 150 bushel national corn average to get there, we're going to scare this thing a few times. And you look at current Dees corn, 365, 370, I think a guy's going to get a chance to sell 390 or $4 Dees, maybe even better. It just depends on, the weather situation. But yeah, I think you're going to see futures slide down into that 3.25 area, and we are going to put a 2 in front of cash prices this fall. As far as marketings are concerned, if a gentleman has crop insurance, I would say when we are up in that $3.90 to $4 area, I would not be afraid to be 60% priced of this year's new crop. You had a 406 guarantee from the February average, so why not sell $3.90 to $4 futures? If you don't have the insurance, I'd probably back that percentage off to somewhere between 40 and 50. But again, you talk $3.90 to $4 futures, you're talking $3.50 cash. How many years can you go wrong having 40, 50% of your crop sold at that level?
We AgriVisor feel that, we could see these prices kind of start dipping lower going into the summer. That is if we have a normal weather pattern and there's no, adverse conditions. Our current marketing, we just finished up our old crop sales in soybeans, and we're looking to push those sales up another 25% with the November trading above $8.50.
I want to come back to you really quickly on because, Ed, we got what you would do if you've got insurance, but what are you going to do if you don't have the insurance at this point?
if you don't have the insurance and you don't have that downside protection, again, I still feel that 40 to 50% sold right now, Todd, is a good number. Even if you don't have the insurance, now that you've got it planted, you know what, and we're off to a pretty decent start. I'm not sure what a guy would be afraid of having that much sold at 350 cash.
Yeah, and what are the reasons that they want to go ahead and market if they're covered by insurance? Why would they go ahead and market? Why wouldn't they just go ahead and write it out?
Why would they market it instead of just sitting and holding?
Yeah,
because when you're looking at this kind of a stocks projection of a billion bushels that we think we're going to be above come this fall. And all of the fund long positions that can get liquidated in a heartbeat, poor basis levels. That's the one thing that insurance really doesn't take into account, Todd. Yeah, you got a 406 futures guarantee. You don't have any sort of basis guarantee for anything this fall. Even though things look bad now, they could be 20, 30 cents worse come harvest time if you're not careful.
I think you approach it from the standpoint of, and I think Ed kind of alluded to this, that you try to improve on the price levels that you've got locked in, because with an average crop, you don't necessarily have that 406 locked in. You have, because you've got a percentage of that you've taken on insurance. So if you don't have crop insurance, I think that you got to go out there and look at some put options. Ed's a little bit more aggressive than I'd be on the cash sales. I like to get a floor locked in there. We've been 30 cash, 30 puts for quite some time now, and we're kind of just sitting back right now. But I don't know that I want to get up to those cash levels yet, but I'd agree if you can get up into those $4 area again, that's probably get some additional sales on.
From the wheat market, July futures this week at a high of 507.5, a low at 470.5, a new lead there. July at 471.25 on their settlement price Friday to Friday. They were off 11.75 from last week. December futures at 494.5, down 17.5 from last week. Just a normal, we're heading into harvest kind of drop in the marketplace?
Absolutely. I think the wheat market is starting to feel some harvest pressure weakness going into the spring months. I feel that the market's kind of going to sit on hold and wait for those early yield reports and kind of see, you know, what was out there.
And where does AgriVisor stand on their wheat sales at this point?
We're at 30% complete on new crop.
Taking a look at the oat numbers, July finished at 266.25. They were off 13.25 from last week, and I know we didn't put those soybean numbers in. Here they are for the week. July had a high of 797, a low at 759.75. New lead option up 42.5 cents. They finished at 792.5 in November. Beans at 821.25. They were up 30.5, and I'd like to finish off this round with by polling everybody. What are you going to do with beans when they approach $8 again?
Well, as I said earlier, Todd, this week we started encouraging some additional cash sales and looking at getting some floors put on with beans that you're going to be storing with some put options. So we're trying to work towards adding to our sales that we made the last time we got up there towards the $8 mark.
Yeah, we're adding to them as well, Todd. We were 25 to 30% coming into this run. You know, when we got down closer to 750, we said we get to 8 again. Let's get back up to that 40% level. So we're doing that. But in the same token, Todd, when you look out past 07, you look at 08 and 09, and the potential loss of acres, we're not looking at adding any sales out there.
And Bridget, you can repeat yours, please.
We're at 25% sold, and we're looking to push that up to the 40 to 50% mark.
In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Bill Biederman of Allendale.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Temperatures were very warm at the beginning of the week, but it cooled off considerably by Thursday and Friday. Temperatures for the first half of May have been almost 7 degrees above normal across the state. Base 50 growing degree days since April 1 are about 100 units ahead of normal. It was fairly quiet this week for precipitation, with an average of only 0.6 inches falling across the state, about half of normal. However, amounts vary considerably from zero at some locations to 2.17 inches at Mount Vernon. After a cool, wet April, the recent warm, dry weather has been very favorable for field operations. The National Weather Service forecast calls for near normal temperatures and little chance of rain over the weekend and into next week. Lows are expected to be in the mid-50s and the highs in the low 80s. The next weather system is expected to push through Illinois around Thursday, bringing our next chance for rain. The outlook for June, July, and August calls for an increased chance of above normal temperatures across Illinois and the eastern Corn Belt. Rainfall is expected to be near normal. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm Jim Angel.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week on WILL AM 580. Our panelists in studio are Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, and Bridget Chinoweth out of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington. All of those, of course, are in Illinois. Taking a quick look at how the Mercantile Exchange finished the week. Futures in the live cattle pit finished the June contract at $94 on their high. Their low at $92.17.5, and a settlement price there down 75 cents at $92.65. May feeder cattle at $109.12.5 were off 57.5. The June lean hogs, $75.95 on the high. The low at $74.20. They settled $1.85 higher at $75.40. And the May bellies at 103.80 were up 20 cents. Cattle on feed report released Friday afternoon. Numbers look like this. On feed at 98%, placed in April at 97%, and marketed in April at 102%. On the line with us now from Crystal Lake, I believe, is Bill Biederman. He's the vice president of Allendale Incorporated. Thanks much for Bill joining us this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Let's take up some of those Informa numbers. They pegged an increase in corn acreage, of course, up more than 100,000 acres at 90.6 million. Do you think U.S. farmers have managed to plant both more corn and more soybean acres this season?
Actually, I do. I think that the seed companies we work with are reporting a record low return on seed. On average, there's about a 2% overrun on seed. So, yeah, you could plant as much as 1.3 million more acres of corn nationwide. You won't do that, of course. But even if you did a third of that, that's about 500,000 acres that could have been put in, and then you're going to lose some acres in the low spots in Iowa and Kansas and maybe even some in South Dakota.
Bill, I'd like to ask you about a couple of the demand side of the balance sheet and probably the ones we don't talk about as much. The feed usage and the exports, what do you see there? Or maybe the best way to ask the question is, what types of surprises could you see as you look down the road that the USDA may throw at us here?
Well, that's a good question. The feed use is probably going to run a little bit higher than what USDA is projecting right now, both for old crop and new crop. Offsetting that, though, I'm going to say something here I might get strung up on, is the ethanol. Right now, our pace to reach the ethanol projection is actually we're running shy of USDA's estimates. So we're going to need to pull a real miracle to get up to their numbers that they have in the supply and demand sheets. Now, export-wise, we're actually right about on pace.
That number was what, 3.8 million? Is that right for the ethanol usage?
3.525 on the old crop.
Oh, 3.525. And so if you're looking at the numbers, you don't think we're not on pace at this point to meet the ethanol, but you're believing that we'll have more usage for livestock. Can you count in at this point the DDGs too, or are you just taking in feed usage in all on its own?
No, I think if you got to figure it the same way they do. You know, so if you do figure it the same way they do, we're probably going to see the feed use number run about 10 million bushels above USDA on the old crop and maybe as much as 50 million on the new crop. That's a long ways out, so it depends on what you assume for livestock. And then on the ethanol numbers, we're probably going to run about 10 million bushels below USDA projections unless these plants get started up right now. I mean, there's a lot of delays out there.
Hey, Bill, I'm going to shift gears and talk a little bit about cash instead of supply and demand. Let's say that the next time we run up to $3.90, $4 Dease corn, clients want to add to sales, and their bin space, maybe they've maxed it out, and now they're looking at fall deliveries only. Do you encourage them to just sell the cash at this point in time? And in addition to that, do they, if we're concerned about weaker basis levels, do we not only sell the cash, but do we look at some additional basis contracts and hope for a continued futures rally on some more weather scares?
Well, that would be the right thing to do if you're worried about the basis getting weak. You know, if you look at the supply-demand tables, it would be hard to figure that the basis would be much weaker than they're offering on forward contracts. I mean, you know, they're probably got a 15 to maybe even 20-cent difference. So if you go on that U of I website and look at what basis being offered for forward contracts are versus what basis being offered for over-the-scale delivery, there's about a 20-cent difference consistently. So I would be more apt to want to be selling in the 390 area and keep my basis open until I'm ready to bring the truck across the scale.
Hey, Bill, when you look at this corn market and we get into an ideal weather pattern, how great do you feel the downside risk could be in that market?
Right now, money seems to be coming out of real estate and out of non-risk-based markets like metals. And money is coming in. Money's looking for a place where there's going to be a lot of risk over the next 50 days. And that's grains. So, you know, there's probably limited risk on the downside right now. I'm not saying going into fall. I'm just saying in the next 20 days, as we cock the gun for summer, it's probably limited risk, maybe 20, 25 cents.
You've told us a little bit about the fundamental side for the corn. What do you see on the soybeans?
Well, the money thing is the big thing. I mean, you know, you had a huge infusion of money coming out of metals this week in beans, and they rallied beans for absolutely no real reason other than the Brazilian real, and that's kind of just a good excuse. You know, bottom line is, if the little guy looks at the weather next week and it comes out the way they're calling it, we're going to be down because the little guy who bought it this week is going to be blowing out next week on stop selling. But the big guy, he isn't going to care about a 50-cent sell-off in beans. He's going to wait for that, and he's going to buy more because they're moving money out of other investments and putting it into where there's going to be a lot of risk. Now, at the end of 50 to 60 days, when that risk factor's gone, you know, everybody listening to this program, we better be short. Whether we're here or whether we're at $10 range, it won't matter. You know, when the risk is over with, we need to be short.
And how do we know that?
Well, you got the best panel of people in the whole world sitting on the phone right now. So
you're going to call us up and tell us? Is that the deal?
No, they're going to call you on the radio. Keep that panel going, man. That's what people listen to for.
Well, you know, it's an awful lot of fun, and there's an awful lot of risk, it seems, in the commodity markets with the volatility anymore. What does this tell you, and maybe all of the panelists can tackle this, and it goes probably to the heart of your jobs, but what does it tell you about what farmers and those who are actually holding grain should really do? Do they get in and try to take advantage of this risk? Is it just too hard to do that? And is it easier to set back and decide that I'm going to be a hedger and not worry so much about trading the market on a shorter-term basis? Maybe Bill Biederman, you could take that up.
That is a great question, and I have a great answer for that. You know, speculators or money's coming into this market like crazy, trying to take on risk. They want the money where there's going to be a lot of risk. And guess what? This is an opportunity for folks who listen to this program nationwide to take advantage of that opportunity. I mean, you can lock in the most amount of money per acre you've probably ever seen in your life, and if we do have an explosion in risk and they run this thing up, let's just say they take it to $5 and then they hit all these HTA stops and they go to $6. If you aren't selling 2 to 3 years with that, you are, I mean, think about this. In the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to have a continuation of upward trending acreage infusion into production via CRC, CRP, whatever, however, you know, I mean, I can go on for a half hour. Bottom line is more acres over the next 2 to 3 years. Ethanol, we're going to peak out the build-out phase of ethanol next year. And then we're going to start converting over to other programs, non-corn-based fuels. So we're going to have a transition going from a really bull market in the next 12 months to being peaked out for the next 3 years. Be ready. This is the biggest opportunity you've had for probably 2 to 3 years to lock in, a lifetime to lock in 2 to 3 years of income, and then all you got to do is work on controlling cost. And that's going to be hard. Obviously, if you have short-term land leases, that's going to be really hard.
We'll switch gears just a little bit here. You'd mentioned this before, Bill, but on the soybean acres in South America with the currency situation the way it is? Could you just kind of go through a rundown of that? I mean, do you see them expanding acres at this point with the current price levels?
At $8 beans, yeah. That's the short answer. And, you know, we can get into a lot of detail, but that's, yeah. If we had $8 beans, absolutely.
By how much?
They'll just keep growing beans. I mean, bottom line is they can grow beans a lot more economically than they can corn. And at $8 beans, they're going to grow it. And they're going to keep expanding. Just like you and I are going to keep expanding our corn acres if we stay at $3.50 to $4.50. I mean, we're going to do it. There's no doubt. And the government's going to probably help us.
Any final word from you before we let you go for the day?
Well, we sold 80% of our row crop beans today. And it was scary because it was a really bullish feeling day. But here's my words of wisdom. Don't get wrapped up in the emotion. Get yourself into a plan and look at this as a business. Don't look at it as the emotional, I got to grab the high of the market, or I got to make money in the market. Forget that this year. You'll get killed. This year, look at it. I'm a businessman. I make money in dollars per acre. And the people on your panel today are the kind of people that can help me do that.
Bill, we appreciate you being with us.
Okay.
Bill Biederman is the vice president of Allendale out of Crystal Lake, Illinois. Now a final word from our panelist, and we'll start with you, Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor.
I agree a lot with Bill where, you know, these farmers need to have a plan, and they need to stick to it, and they don't need to get caught up in the motion of these volatile markets.
Yeah, risk management's what it's all about, Todd. And to try to play these markets, buy a downswing, sell an up move, eventually you're going to get caught in a trap doing that. Just use weather rallies, fund buying rallies as chances to scale up and add to sales. But don't get carried away with trying to hit the home run.
And that was Ed Dunn with Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign. And we'll wrap up with Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing.
Only you know what your comfort level is as far as cash sales. Figure out what that comfort level is and then find the tool that you can lock in some floor prices over and above that comfort level.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. We'd like to thank our panel of analysts, including Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor Services, and Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILLAG.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. You have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.EDU.